hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Weird Awakenings tonight. We are going to be talking about the psychology of color. Color psychology is based on the mental and emotional effects that colors have on people in every aspect of their life. There are a lot of skewed instances of psychology, as well as there are some that are more accepted, some that are more proven, but keep in mind, it matters. It's there. Your surroundings can influence your emotions, your state of mind, your attitude. And if something's bothering you on a regular basis, it could very well be the colors that you've surrounded yourself with. I mean, we even use, you know, everyday idioms, you know, green with envy, tickled pink, out of the blue, you know, so it matters. And you may not realize just how much it matters. Joining me tonight are our wonderful friend, Mr. Stephen Hill, the phenomenal Miss Jen Salmons, and the awesome Miss Hadley Thorne. Our friends from Where in the Folk are taking much needed date nights tonight, so they'll be back with us next week. All right, guys.
They're not dating each other tonight, are they?
Not tonight, but they did grow up together, so you know. No, they both had something to do with their significant others.
Oh, so that's very sweet.
That was awesome. So I hope they have a great time. So, guys, color, what do you think?
There's something to it. It's used way too often.
It really is. And I'll tell you, when it started really being of interest to me, when I was in college, I'm an art major. So, you know, color's always going to be involved there. But I had this design professor that did not have a degree, but she had taken so many courses and was such a talented artist that she made tenure just based on that. Well, she was an old hippie from the late 50s, early 60s. So she was awesome, just the way that she approached things. I mean, we had a whole discussion one day about auras and color involved there. And she actually required us to attend a lecture on color psychology. And I mean, it was things like back in the 80s when the LGBT, you know, community started first coming out, they found that they got more response from their mailings if they were on a violet or lavender paper. They have done color analysis in people with mental health disorders, and schizophrenics tend to lean towards grays and darker colors. And they even, at the college that I went to prevent loitering, they would take the stairwells and hallways and mix bright contrasting colors of like deep navy blue and bright orange. You never saw people hanging out in the stairwells because it was just, you didn't want to be there. So that's when I started kind of paying attention to it. And, you know, like I said, it's just always kind of followed through.
That. Explain the stairwell one to me.
What they did is they actually went in and contrasting colors, they work as far as one showing the other one up very brightly. So orange and blue, yellow and purple, and red and green. So, but when you see them in large, chunky amounts, they're just overwhelming. So they would take those contrasting colors and with these huge, like, geometrical shapes in the stairwells. And like I said, they never had problems with loitering in the stairwells. You know, people just went up them and got out. And in other places that they had not done that to, they had problems with, you know, people hanging out in the stairs. So that's when they decided to go in and paint all the stairwells that way.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. In a study they actually did with children or babies, colicky babies, and there was a separate study, and I'm going to have to look up who did them, but of married couples, and babies with colic and married couples that were fighting a lot tended to be in bright yellow rooms, because while yellow is considered a happy color, if there's too much of it and it's too bright, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. So, you know, and they found that, you know, colicky babies, a lot of times it's the fact that mom and dad painted the nursery bright yellow thinking, oh, that's the perfect calming color. And it's not, you know, it's too much.
Yeah.
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 So, like I said, you know, it's very interesting.
I think where my arguments have happened.
There you go. There you go.
Like, what was the colors of the walls?
Yeah. And you know, and the thing is, because I actually had a family member that was opening a daycare at about the same time that we were studying this. And she goes, well, what color do I need to do the baby's room? Because I've got all this yellow paint. And I'm like, well, you know, if you want to do like a wall in the yellow, it's like an accent wall, and then do the rest of it in a light blue or something that's a calming color, then it balances out.
Well, I find it interesting because I've heard of like schools being very cognizant of like what colors they're going to paint. And our schools in Brandon back in the day were all yellow. But also with prisons, I've heard about them coloring, painting prison walls certain colors. Mm-hmm. So,
well, blues tend to be the most calming. And greens, if they're in the right shades, work. But then you turn right around and you think of like the color pea green is not really an attractive color, because if you think of older hospitals, they tended to be that kind of pea green color. You know, so people started associating that specific shade of green with illness instead of with earth and, you know, the things that, you know, people outside of that environment think about. You know, we use it a lot in advertising. You know, if you want to come across as, you know, courageous and strength, you know, you want those reds and those oranges. But if you want it to be more laid back and intelligent and cool, then you go with the darker blues and stuff like that. So, and pretty much anybody with a large brand, they've taken color into account.
Yeah, actually, Lauren Smith from Night Callers had contacted me recently. She's starting a new business, and she sent over some stuff for like some logos, and she asked, you know, asked me about colors, and I told her, I actually sent her a thing about the use of color in marketing. Mm-hmm. Because she's starting a new business, and I was just saying these colors, you know, make people think of these things, so you might want to go with one of those. Right. But it is used in marketing, and it's used all over. But somebody saying something.
Oh, McDermott.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, okay. I was just gonna mention like the whole McDonald's thing, the Golden Arches. You know, that they talked about yellow and red being. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what the psychology behind it was, but they were saying there's a reason they chose those colors. Mm-hmm. It made people want to go there, and that was definitely a scheme that they wanted to stay with.
Right. Yeah. Yellow denotes friendliness.
And red. And
I'm
red
just going to say
hunger.
Mm-hmm. What the heck were they thinking? Because their marketing tool is a big old clown. I mean, everyone thinks clowns are evil.
Well, I don't think that happened until It.
That's true. That's true.
I've never liked them.
Well, you know, and that's the thing too. For every positive aspect of a color, there's also a negative one. Because while red can be considered like courageous and warm, it can also be considered aggressive. You know, like I said, you know, yellow, the same, you know, optimism and self-esteem, but it's also tied to depression and anxiety. I mean, so like I said, you know, they all have a positive and negative. It's almost about finding a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, some colors are more aggressive than others. You know, I realized recently that I literally own one red piece of clothing. It's just not the color that I'm drawn to.
That's interesting, because they say that older women, no offense, like women around 40s, that's when you start wearing a lot of red.
Really? Yeah. Mm-mm. Like I said, I literally have one t-shirt, and it's a work t-shirt. It's the only reason I have it. And I'm the same way with yellow. I love yellows and oranges in nature. I hate them on me because I have a lot of yellow in my skin tone.
And that's what I thought you were going to say. I have a lot going on, and I don't need that.
No. I just feel like I look yellow when I wear yellow.
Well, so, did you ever do that? There's like I'm a winter and a spring. Mm-hmm. Like when you would get your colors done as a girl, I don't know if y'all did that, but as to what colors you should wear and like what color lipstick and all that, y'all mm-hmm. didn't do that?
I did that forever ago, and mine was strictly winter.
Yeah, I'm a winter, and I could do pastels for spring. But not yellow. Not yellow, not orange. Those are not my colors. I am a pink toned skin person.
You know, it's funny. Purple's my favorite color as well. Well, I like jewel tones. So garnet, sapphire, those colors. But when I worked at AT&T, we had to wear business casual. And I wore a green shirt one day and someone stopped me and said, "Oh my God, you own something that's not black." I'm like, okay, maybe I should start wearing other colors. So I do wear more colors now, but at that particular point in time, I guess I was going through a dark phase. But you know, and I do. I pick colors that I wear a lot of times by how I feel, you know. And I hate to say this, but I actually worked with someone who was a bigger purple fan than me. And I made the comment one day, you know, I could buy you one of those purple turd emojis and you would love it because it was purple. And she goes, "You're right." I quit wearing purple until after she left the company because everything was about purple. And I'm like, okay, you know, to each his own. But, you know, to the point where when I painted my living room in like shades of blue. And she's like, "But your favorite color is purple." And I'm like, "Yeah. Well, then why wouldn't you paint it that color?" Because I'm not the only person who lives here. You know, my husband may not want to be in a fully purple room all the time. So,
well, and I'll tell you, at this house, when I bought it, the lady who lived here prior to me had two teenage girls. And both of their rooms were painted blue. One of them is painted like a very calming ocean. It makes me think of the Atlantic Ocean blue. Mm-hmm. And then the older girl, her room is like a teal turquoise. And when my mom moved in here, she got my master and I moved into the guest room. I had to move out of that one because I could not sleep. That color was too bright. Mm-hmm. It bothers me. And I don't like the color of that room. At some point, I'm going to have to paint it.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty color. It's just, it makes my head hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the colors, just like if you have a room, it's painted a dark color, it tends to look like it's smaller. Or if you paint it a lighter color, you tend to think that it might be bigger than it is.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. You've run into that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I didn't know this for a long time. It's actually been a recent discovery. They say that if you put color on your ceiling, it will actually add what looks like dimension to your room.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you did like a light blue instead of white, that it tends to expand
paint
that
blue.
Look.
That's what they call it. Like you're supposed to paint your porch paint blue. What is it? To keep the flies away or something?
You know, I want to have
or something
to
about
that.
The evil spirits too, but I'm not going to go into that.
Right. Right. Well, and you know, like I said, it's weird because different people react differently, you know, to the way that, like I said, you know, I'm just not a big red fan. There are things I love that are red, but it's just not something that I gravitate to. But then there are other people I know, I see them in red almost every day. Their car's red, you know, and stuff like that. But that was another thing in this psychology class was more people are ticketed in red vehicles than in any other color car.
I love red cars. I don't love, you know, like wearing red. I would say I wear mostly black. I would have been that girl that she said that to.
Yeah.
When you wore the green.
Yeah.
I have I've recently got into like light bulbs and the color changing. You can say, "Alexa, turn on the lights" or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I got this one and it's just one in my room and it's in this lamp and it is red. I've lit it to red and basically kept it there. And I did it purposefully because there is a reason that you call it the red light district.
Uh-huh.
If you look at your skin and everything looks smoother with a red background.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting here humming Roxanne as we're talking. Yeah. You know, and I actually have a small lamp. It's one of those clip lamps on my headboard with a green light bulb because that shade is more tolerable when I have a migraine.
Okay.
You know, and someone told me to try a green light bulb, you know, because when you turn the lights on and you've got a migraine, it's just like, oh God, kill me. But she told me just try it. And she was right. I can turn that on. And while I still have the headache, I don't feel like I'm going to die at that particular moment. So, you know, and there are actually, and I've got one ordered. They have started making a pink Himalayan salt light bulb. That it's actually got the salt in the bulb with the filament.
I've seen those.
Uh-huh. And they're supposed to, you know, help clean the air and stuff like that.
Just Morgana, just don't lick the salt lamp.
Okay. No. You know, it's really funny. I've got half a dozen of those salt lamps. I've got barbecue pink salt blocks that you put on your grill and cook on. I use them for everything. So if I ever run out of salt, I'm just going to break one of them up and call it a day. Audrey, I understand. Like I said, you know, you get an obsession with something and that's what you like. And like I said, I love purple. But when I was younger, I was probably more obsessed with it. But as I've gotten older, I've got a little bit more moderation and everything.
Well, I'm thinking about painting my office like a dark eggplant, and I have black furniture and all, or either like a peacock green, but I haven't decided which yet.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Color is important to me. Like I said, I want to have my office looking nice. I want it to look gothic and, you know, have an element to it that inspires me to write. But at the same time, there's certain colors that enhance your creativity.
Right.
And then some that don't. So I want to make sure that, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, every wall that I have painted white in my house has a tint of either blue or violet or something. So it's not stark white. And then it's trimmed out with something that contrasts and complements that touch of color. So like in my office, there's a touch of blue in the white, and then the trim and everything's done in like a dark, almost like, it's not really navy because it's got just a touch of green to it. So it's almost like a super dark teal. And like I said, you know, this is my room. When I just need time for me, I can come in here. Well, not right now because there's so much crap in here you can't get around. But normally it's got floor to ceiling bookshelves, you know, and everything. And it's just my safe space and everything. So, you know, but that's why I pick the colors I pick too, because they're colors that calm me.
Yeah. Well, Landa had mentioned the feng shui, and I was going to say that I'd always heard, because I would have thought red would have been a good color for the bedroom, for passion, you know. But in actuality, blue is a better color for the bedroom.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. What did Audrey say about the eggplant? You flashed that.
She thinks that I should paint the office.
Okay. I'm kind of
leaning towards it, cool. But I have some really pretty fabric that's a purple tapestry, brocade kind of. I'm going to do probably that for the curtains. So I want to make sure that I have something that offsets that. So that's why I've been thinking about the teal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, by the way, on the red. I did an accent wall of red and I loved it.
See, I've been thinking about when I had thought about when we were doing the living room to go with a red, that deep blood red, not just, I like red, but it's a specific red, you know?
Yeah.
So like that deep cherry red almost, I love. My husband had a conniption when I mentioned painting a room red. He goes, it just sounds like a damn whorehouse. And I'm like,
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm like, I would think you'd be okay with that. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, at my old house, we painted the entryway was like a chili color. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect. It was It was just the right color. And then the color that you went into, we were talking about yellow. Mm-hmm. It was like a goldenrod color. But that little, excuse me, asshole that I was with at the time, He got like a tennis ball yellow color for one of the bedrooms. It was terrible.
You could take that red and that yellow, and then nobody would want to go in that room. See?
Well, it was for his kids.
Yeah. But
enough said.
Well, and see, and now I do like goldenrod and that red together like that. I think that's a pretty combination, not enough to, you know, want to paint my house that color or anything, but.
Well, and I will tell y'all that when I moved into this house, the bedroom here was yellow and I wanted to paint it. And so the painter told me that yellow is the hardest color to cover. And you wouldn't think that, but he's like, yeah, yellow is the hardest color to cover up.
Well, and red is really hard to get on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to do more than one coat, usually, unless you buy the really good stuff.
If you think about it, on yellow, anything you put over it, the first coat, it's going to change the color of. So if you put blue on it, it's going to have a green cast to it. You know, if you put red on it, it's going to have an orange cast to it. If you put purple, it's going to have brown. So I could see yellow being a problem.
Well, it was.
You know. Ooh, beige. That's a horrible color. That's beautiful. Those are good colors. Like I said, you know, I like all of them in some context. It's just depending on where it's at. You know, yes, wine is a good red. Like I said, anything I think that falls in that deeper color is really a pretty color.
Yeah, that was the color of my accent wall. It was very pretty.
Yep, yep. So, but, you know, and then you have to think, too, there are some that kind of just fall in between stuff. So, like, pink, it's not red, it's not purple. But it can carry on traits from either or. You know, a lot of people associate it, you know, with, okay, like rose quartz, you know, it is a self-love and self-healing stone, you know, and it's not just the color that makes it that way, the stone itself does, but, you know, people associate it with that gentle type of love. I always think of, you know, younger girls when I think about that lighter pink color. You know, I don't see very many, you know, adult women wearing the pastel pinks. As I do, you know, when you're younger.
I don't know. I've seen some, but I mean, it's like a shell color, you know, with something else on it. But
right.
I don't know. But well, it takes a certain person to be able to pull it off.
Exactly. It does.
But I'm going to throw something towards Steven. Are you ready to catch it?
I'll try.
Bigfoot and the color red. Tell me all about it.
Well, if you watch the Missing 411, if you're familiar with that work, they say don't wear bright colors, like bright red, bright orange, yellow. I've basically ignored that. A lot of times what I have to wear for work is a high vis color, either orange or the yellow. You know, a lot of time, part of the shirts I have, they even have the reflective tape on them, you know, and a lot of times I get in at evening time, I want to go to the woods to snoop around to see if I can have an encounter or something like that. That's what I wear. I'm not going to change. So, and they seem to, they really don't seem to be bothered by it that well, much. The way I honestly look at it is, if I'm wearing this, then surely they can see me.
I had read somewhere that like the color red with like big apes was like a sign of, how do I want to say this, like sexual ripeness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of triggers some things, you know, with red from what I've read about that, you know, so, yeah, but that's a lot of the people who've gone missing, you know, the work that David Pilatus has done, you know, they've warned against wearing real bright colors like that. It's just, I know there's one example here in Arkansas at Mena, at Queen Wilhelmina. There was a woman who'd started hiking with her family, if I remember this correctly, I believe she was wearing a bright yellow raincoat. And she started feeling bad and told her family to go ahead and go on their walk, and she was going to go back up. And after they made their walk and they went to looking for her at the top of the mountain there, they never did find her. And she never has been found.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I am familiar and have read up on that. There is a considerable amount of the colors. Mm-hmm. But red was one. I think that I read like in the Philippines, they say don't wear red into the jungle.
Right. Yeah. It's .
Well, and you know, in Japanese culture, red is like of the luckiest color. You know, when you give gifts, you know, it's supposed to be considered good luck to give it wrapped in red, or if you give money to put it in a red envelope.
Yeah.
Well, in China and India, that's the color of a bride. That's what you wear to a wedding.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, it is the most conspicuous color.
Well, do you know the color white for brides only really started around Victoria's time because it was the whole purity thing, you know? And I know a lot of people that should have never come close to a white dress when they got married, myself included. I'm not being, you know, a hypocrite or anything, but, you know, it's really, you know, other cultures don't wear white. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, in India, white is considered a color of mourning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure is.
I think it's the same. I think that is pretty much an Eastern thing.
Right.
I think it's the same in China.
Well, you know, my dad told me that if you wear yellow to a wedding, it means you disapprove. And he wore a yellow shirt to both of my weddings. The same yellow shirt, I might add. And that's one of the few things I kept that belonged to him. So, you know, he was making a point. But yeah, so like I said, you know, it's funny how some things are considered bad luck in, you know, Eastern and good luck in Western philosophies and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because I saw someone, okay, I have a fascination with wedding dresses. I don't want to wear one. I just think the work that they put into it and everything is really cool. Right. And this girl had on one that had like, it was like black and white trimmed. It was absolutely gorgeous, you know, and like I said, it was, and that's what she told him. I don't want anything traditional. I want it totally out of left field somewhere. And, you know, they didn't have a lot to show her, but it was, you know, it was cool that they did find her something that she could wear that was not just stark white or beige or off-white. Huh. So,
mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. But go ahead.
Wasn't it in Ukraine in recent years that they started making the I don't know, it's kind of like a headdress or whatever, using all the different flowers and stuff again?
Yeah, I've seen that. I know a lot of the Slavic cultures will have those. Yeah. They have a name for them. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. They are. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They started that back again. It looks like in like 2013. And said okay. each one of the flowers means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have like somewhere bookmarked, Stephen. I'll see if I can find it for you. But it was a series of photographs that this photographer did of both young and old ladies with those hats on, and it was just it was just really cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. I mean, it looks like somebody has to have a lot of patience to do that.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, you know, flowers can look good in a vase, but then you start putting them on top of somebody's head, they take on a different meaning.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it was a virginal thing, wasn't it? You had to be a maiden to wear them. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so. You know, with the flower, I guess I'm taking this off topic, you know. Yeah. But a lot of times in old times, you know, the Middle Ages or whatever. I think a lot of the weddings used to take place around in the springtime because that's when the flowers would bloom, you know. So.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, in spring is Beltane was usually when the 1st of May was traditionally like when a lot of weddings took place and all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But Beltane. It was a time of abundance and.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Brat fire.
Rebirth, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you still in European countries and stuff on Beltane, you still see them doing the maypole and the girls have the flower garlands on their head and everything. You know, so I think a lot of that's a throwback to that older time.
Yeah. And you're talking about rebirth. Yeah. We go through spring, summer, entropy, death, winter, you know.
So. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Same cycle every year.
Do you know something that I've recently found out that kind of goes back to color too, is that somebody asked the question, was the orange named for the color or the color named for the orange? And it was actually, the color was named for the fruit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That kind of surprised me, because I'd have expected it to be the other way. But they said, yes, that the fruit had the name first. So.
Okay.
So, you know, little bit of trivia.
That is trivia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a warning to everybody out there. You don't want to bite into a mock orange.
Did you do that, Stephen?
Once.
All it took.
That was enough.
Yeah. That's a, what was it? I saw something recently. Somebody had like a bowl of wax fruit in a store, and there was a bite taken out of one of the wax apples. And they had just put it upside down in the bowl so that nobody could see it. Like, okay. Oh, yeah. So be wary of eating fruit in the department store, too.
Well, since we're talking about the color psychology, I'm going to talk about or bring up what about candle magic and color association when it comes to crafting and things like that.
Oh, yeah, because like I said, you know, it's the same too. A lot of stones are also used the same way, you know, that the color is actually what you use it for, because like, you know, dark black stones are good for grounding and protection. But the same thing, you know, with the colors with the candles and everything, you can use different colors to represent the days of the week. You know, if you're doing that kind of magic, you can use specific colors to go with you know, what you're working on. Like, say, if you're depressed, you know, you could use like an orange candle, you know. Then different colors also mean different things. Like, you know, a white candle is about purity, but it's also, it can help destroy negative energy. You know, you would use like, say, a deep blue candle for meditation or healing. Green candles are good for money and luck, fertility, abundance. So, yeah, all of those colors mean something and everything. So.
We have this cool shop here. It's called Aquarius. And I remember all the candles being very interesting colors. Mm-hmm. And it's not a head shop, so I don't want to give that impression, because but it had like, you know, sage or your smudge sticks and just alternative ways of looking at the world. It was a very cool store. But I remember they had this one black candle and it smelled beautiful. But I was like, I don't know who's buying that. I mean, I guess there's a lot of people that would buy it, but you don't see that at Walmart.
Well, see, and here's the thing too, Jen, in you know, using it in a magical sense, black tends to represent the god and white represents the goddess. You know, if you don't have access to silver and gold, which is normally, you know, what you would use. So, you know, black candles are good for protection.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, you know, when I was much more, I guess, enthusiastic in my practicing, every year I'd go get a bunch of black votives around Halloween. Because they're really good for protection spells. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that I practice a lot of is, you know, making sure that my wards are up and that my house is protected and things like that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so that was always something I kept around. And,
well, you know, my voodoo shop that I like so much in New Orleans.
The one with the murder scene upstairs.
Yes, yeah, that's the one. They actually sell these little candle sets that they're intent candles. And it may be for, say, you know, attracting abundance. It may be for, you know, dispelling negativity or whatever. And it'll have three candles that'll be different colors that represent that. And you're supposed to burn them at the same time with that intent in your mind. I've gotten my kids, you know, sets of them since they've been adults, you know, every time I go over there. So, but like I said, you know, the colors that they use correspond with what the intent behind it is. And, you know, Karen used to carry this little set of the chime candles, the little small ones that somebody made special, but they would have like a base color, say of like green, but then it would have like drips of other colors and stuff. and it would have a little card with it to say, okay, here's what you would burn this candle for and everything. They were absolutely beautiful. I mean, they were just the color combinations and stuff were outstanding. And, you know, that is something that you're drawn to when you first see stuff a lot of times. You know, I mean, if the color catches your eye, it brings you, you know, to actually go look at it and everything. So, and I'm the same way with when I buy crystals. I mean, I know what I'm usually going for, but color a lot of times will catch me on something new. And it's usually what I need to bring into my home at that particular time.
Interesting. I think that another thing with colors is it's like when we talk about dream symbolism and what speaks to you, it's the same with colors. You know, if pink means something to you that it doesn't mean to somebody else, you could definitely use it.
Right.
I don't know about the psychology of that, but I guess it's a personal psychology.
It is. And, you know, that's like in working and everything. Like I said, you know, green tends to be a color that a lot of people use for health issues. I use pink. That is the color that speaks to me when I'm working on something for, you know, my health or somebody else's.
Yeah, I would not use green for health. To me, I think of green as something more earthy or for, you know, prosperity.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. But a lot of people do use it for health. Because yeah, it kind of surprised me because when I first started, you know, learning about it and everything, you know, and then, you know, back then I was like reading everything I could get my hands on. And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of green as, you know, a health thing. But, you know, I guess too, though, a lot of things associated with health, people use earth magic with. So, you know, and green is associated with that. So maybe that's where it comes in at.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Yep.
When you say earth magic, can you explain that, please? The dummies of the group.
No, there is no such thing as a dummy in the group. For me personally, what I tend to look at with earth stuff is like for grounding, for health. Like if I'm looking for something, you know, that...
No, I understand that part. I was saying the magic part.
Right. But what?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's okay. All right. It's in the same sense. A lot of people ask me, you know, what do you mean by magic? What do you mean by a spell? I look at that in a lot of ways. And this is just a simple way to explain it. The same as other people believe in the power of prayer.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, it's that intent and that's where your heart's at and that's what you're sending out to the universe. You know, this is what I mean.
And you're manifesting certain stuff. And aligning for me, like when I talk about earth magic, that's with earth, it's, you know, different than with fire.
Right.
If that makes sense. Or air or water. So it's just a different type of element. And that's to me what I think of.
Yeah.
It has to do of the earth. It's going to be, you know, something that provides stability. It's going to be something that's grounded. It's going to be something that is secure. Whereas with fire, you have something that's very changeable. And with water is, again, you know, emotions. And then with air, you have intellect. And so... that's for when I use it, that's what I mean, is it's just a different type of elemental.
Okay, so you have talked to me before about auras, Heather, and you feel like certain people have certain auras. I'm going to put you on the spot, Miss Lady. What aura do you think each of us has? What color is our aura?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen you. I remember when we were in college, you were visiting
me. College, how about that?
You were okay. This is a story. You had a guy that you had over at my apartment that his was like a sickly orange. And I just remember it was like the first time I'd ever really seen one. And I just remember there was something about him. I just couldn't put my finger on it, but it had something to do with that color. It was like I said, a sickly orange.
Okay.
But I don't see them like a lot of people see them. I see energy around people. And I get a feeling for people. You know, like somebody might make me think of blue or somebody might make me think of green. But it's a, you know, for me, it's more of a feeling, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, I told you the other night, to me, you're a queen of swords. That's right. How I see you. And to swords is, I don't know. It's,
straight. Basically a badass, which that was kind of cool. I didn't.
But with Morgana, you know, Morgana to me is a force of nature with water. She is, you know, she's not the babbling brook in your backyard. She's the, you know, the tsunami that's coming in to take out your front yard. So with Stephen, I get that, and I don't know Stephen very well, so I would have to say, you know, I'd like to meet him in person before I committed. But speaking with him here, he's someone who I do get a lot of earth energy. He's someone who's very comforting to me. He has a lot of heart. He seems solid. You know what I mean?
Yep. Very earthy.
Yeah, very earthy. I'd say earthy. Mm-hmm. A forest, you know, he's green. He's, you know.
Dirty.
Yeah, solid. Like a, what is it? A redwood, not necessarily, or an oak. Not, he's not like a pine tree.
Yeah.
He doesn't bend. He's stubborn.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. And to me, I'll tell you, anytime I get, if I have a real stressful day or something like that, a lot of times the thing that I can do to go kind of calm my nerves and is to go into the woods, just be alone. That's calming and relaxing to me.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Stephen?
I'm from Arkansas.
Okay. So kind of Southwest. What we were talking about earlier, Heather. The Southern boys, they like them woods, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I don't know the answer to this, but, and Heather, tell me right or wrong, Jennifer's a lot of fire.
Jennifer's steel, but yeah, she's forged in fire for sure. But yeah. She's someone, I don't think she's as chaotic as most fires are. That's why, yeah. Like, I see her as steel. She's something that she can cut through something to the quick.
Right. And like I say, you know, the same as with, you know, when you were talking with about Stephen, I don't know Jen that well, you know, just what we've, you know, been online and stuff. But yeah, I do get a lot of that fire trait. Mm-hmm. I guess, and everything. But Landa, mine's amethyst. I don't leave the house without amethyst. But yeah, so like I said, you know, and that's something that I think a lot of people, you know, like you were saying, you pick up on feel and everything about how people feel. And a lot of that is that empath part of you too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a general rule, if you follow those feels, you know, you're not going to be wrong.
Yeah.
And everything. So
I've been called what people would say is a tele-empath. It's like I don't just see what's going on with someone on the surface. I see deep down into what the root is that's making them act that way. So a lot of times y'all will hear me say, oh, I'm not sure if I like so-and-so. And I will always try and tell people, it doesn't mean I don't like them. It means I don't know, there's nothing there for me to like. You know, I don't know them well enough, so it's just a clumsy way of speaking, I should say. But a lot of times there's people, and y'all have probably heard me say, you know, tell this story before, but growing up, I had a friend. Growing up in Brandon, Mississippi, we were all friends, even if we hated each other, you know, we're still friends. So growing up, there was this girl who hung out with us some, and she made me very uncomfortable because I couldn't figure out what it was about her. You know, I knew there was something. I didn't know what it was. And later, I come to find out that she's transitioned into a man. And I've had no issues with her since. I don't have that feeling anymore. That's what I was picking up on in high school, and I couldn't put my feeling. You know, there was I had no way of knowing what it was, but I was picking up on something. And now that he has transitioned into being his true self, that feeling subsided completely, and we get along great. And you know, they're big into rescuing dogs, and they're married, they live close by, and you know, we've definitely talked about, you know, animals and stuff like that a lot, but it was a very interesting thing for me. And I only found this out because they go to the same tattoo artist that I went to, and they had a tattoo done that it was a cocoon. I mean, it was basically their transition of, you know, them going from being this person who they weren't to becoming who they really are. And like I said, that was one of those things. And I just, it was one of those awing moments when you see the difference in what you know that it's a validation of something that you've always felt, and being able to pinpoint what it was now. So I don't know. Well, I'm off track. Way off.
Well,
track.
No, but that makes me think too, though, because I think what was off-putting too is the fact that whether consciously or not, he was hiding something.
You know? Well, yeah. I mean, it's a duplicitous, like, you know, there's something, but you don't, that's not that they're a bad person. It's not, you mm-hmm. just can't put your finger on it.
Right.
It just did, like I said, the puzzle piece did not fit. And I'm one of those people that I look and when I'm dealing with other people, I often looked at patterns and similarities and like what's going on and trying, like if someone acts out of character, I will notice it because I'm looking for that. It's just like probably Stephen in the woods. Stephen will tell you that in the woods, it's not, you don't look for, you know, what's different. You know, you look for that one little thing that's not where it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that's this thing is I could not put that piece in place, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
But that goes into that empathy thing is you know it in your gut. You can't figure out what it is. And you're constantly trying to put those pieces together to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's what I've always understood that tele-empathy was. It was taking that empathy a deeper level and saying, hey, what is this? I'm going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you and I've talked before. My dad was like that because it could be a person that everyone else in the world had just written off. There's no help for them. They're useless. And he could see that little spark that none of us could see that was still redeemable. You know, or he could see that one thing that everyone else thought, you know, though this is a great person. He's like, you might want to watch that, you know. So
well, I'm often the one that for the longest time, I think this was a big hang up with my personality is that I'd want to point out the asshole in the room. You know, it's like, why don't y'all see that person's an asshole? You know, I don't understand. And now I'm just like, you just gonna have to figure it out for yourself.
That's yeah. right. That's it. And a lot of times that's all you can do. I mean, you know, people see what they want to see a lot of times. If you are, I don't know if you call it blessed or cursed with the ability to see things that other people don't, you know, it is what it is. You know, and I do find that, you know, you can block a lot of it out if you want to, but then you end up paying for it in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Well, we've talked okay, about
so
that.
I'm going to go back really quick, though. Uh-huh. I need to find out. Who was this guy? There was a lot of them.
I don't know. It was some guy that was down in Hattiesburg, and I lived down there.
Oh, I had a guy that I was hanging out with in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, when I first
you would think I'd
there.
Remember that. I'm so sorry, I don't.
It was a hazy time, man. Hazy time.
It was a hazy time. Lots of drinks involved, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I've never been that way before, so I don't understand the whole, you know.
The whole aura thing, or the whole there's lots of guys?
That the whole there was alcohol involved.
Oh,
but now going back to the aura thing, like there are people that I think that just will draw you in. They're like, you know, it's like moss to a flame. They'll just mm-hmm. and I will say this because we all know her. I think Lauren is like that. Lauren has such a bright light that she attracts a lot of attention, and she's probably someone who probably needs to be cognizant of who she's close to because of it. But but she is a bright light and she just attracts people, you know. And people like that. I mean, they're special, but you know, at the same time, you know, they've got their own set of woes that come with that. but she has a very interesting aura, I think. Which Stephen's met her in person. I haven't met her in person, so he probably knows better. But
right, yeah, I do. That's how she is. I mean, sometimes it's that's how she is. I mean, we get along really good. We understand each other pretty well, I think. It's with that right there. It's interesting the way you're talking about that right there, and how you would pick out the jerk in the room and whatever. There are times you can meet somebody and meet them for the very first time, and it's like you've known them all your life.
Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes,
such as the weird kids. All the Weird Realities people are like people who I feel like I've known forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know, even Tully and I were talking one night about, you know, it seems like people like you, Hadley, you attract people, you know, a very certain kind and everything. And he wanted to know, well, how, you know, why, you know, and it's like, there's no why, it's just part of who you are. You know, it's a part of your personality that you don't necessarily see it, but you're going to call in broken people when you've got that kind of energy, you know, because people, I think deep down, want to be healed, you know.
Island of Misfit Toys, come here.
There you go. That's it exactly. You know, I mean, there are a lot of broken people in our lives. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but there really are, you know. And that's not necessarily bad. I think that a lot of times you attract the people you're supposed to have to help, you know, get through those broken bits and pieces, you know, and everything. So, okay.
Well, I have a theory that I'll share with y'all is I think that there's people that are meant to come together. You know, like whether it's your soul tribe or however you want to call it, but they're just people who are meant to come together for some bigger purpose. Now, I don't know what that bigger purpose is. It could be, you know, having a podcast and talking about weird stuff so the right people can listen to it. That could be what we're supposed to be doing here.
We're all good shots, and when the zombies come, we'll be together.
We've got our zombie people over here who are going to train us.
Yes.
I'm pleased to say that Rich Rastucci can fly.
That's so, right. We've got our plane.
We've now secured the pilot. <Good job. laughs> But I also think that feeling of the right, and I hate to say the right people, but the people who are supposed to come together in our life, that it's very similar to that feeling of brokenness. And I don't know how to describe it. It's like that frequency is very similar. And
hey, Mark.
When you're dealing with the people who are broken, like I said, it's easy to get sucked in because it is a very similar frequency to what we're looking for.
Right.
And you can get it, the lines crossed. I mean, I'll be the first one to say, I can pick out good people when it comes to everybody but myself. I cannot pick out a good relationship for spitting. I mean, that's just not my gift. But a lot of people who I think are very more closely in tune have that issue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard because you do get into that whole broken people wanting to save people and then wanting to connect with the right people. It's just, like I said, the best way to describe it would be like a frequency or a smell, a scent, you know.
I don't know how, but I knew, Hadley, that we were going to be friends.
Yeah, tell that story, because that's a fun story.
Well, there's a few people in my life that's happened with. There's three. You were actually the second of those three, but I moved to Brandon, and I don't know how to say this other than I was kind of overwhelmed with the welcome wagon that came to my house. I'd moved from Detroit down to Mississippi, and it was very friendly. People are waving at you as you drive by, and I'm like, why are they waving at me? What did I do? Like, so I didn't know quite what to make of that at first. I don't know why. You were just different, and I could sense it, and it was, I don't know, it was a feeling of, I know we're going to be friends. And we're going to be friends like I'm not friends with other people here. And that was true. I didn't like the other people I ended up kind of being friends with, Kim and Jamie and all of them. I mean, they're great people and that's wonderful, but you're the only one I still talk to from Brandon. And you have me on a podcast, which that.
That's why she's a podcaster, Landa. That's to answer your question. She doesn't want to be on the podcast. I make her. Like, but it's psychology. You're a psychologist. Good.
That's right. That's right.
Only Heather. Only. I mean, only Hadley.
Okay. Sorry. One more.
No, we're gonna okay. Like it's gonna have to become a drinking game with who, how many times we all call me Heather.
I never do unless Hadley. Jen. I never do unless Jen is on.
Well, I did it to myself last night.
Well, I think we should have like a chant right before we go on air. How about that? Like Hadley, Hadley, Hadley. Okay, time to go. Like something.
Okay, one last color thing before we end this. You were talking earlier, Hadley, about prison colors. Pink. There was an article in the Telegraph that detailed a project in Switzerland to paint prison cells pink. The article noted that the color pink can reduce anger in inmates in as little as 15 minutes. In another experiment using color, the University of Iowa football coach, Hayden Fry, had the visiting team's locker room painted pink, intended to calm the opposing players and extinguish their fighting spirit. The locker room has since caused controversy. However, it may not be a coincidence that he's one of the most successful university coaches of his time.
Yes.
Yep. So there you go. It is pink.
I think pink would make me angry.
Yeah.
I think I would be mad that if I was stuck in a pink room in prison.
Well, here you go. My other clothing, I have one pink shirt, and it is a breast cancer awareness shirt that someone gave to me. So I wear my pink in October, at least one day.
Okay.
But
I'll say this. We used to, I played softball for a long time. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, we still playing, we played a lot more co-ed. So what my wife and I did, we had a pink shirt made, and on the front of it, we had "Who Bats After Me," and on the back of it, the other team. It's whoever made the third out would have to wear the pink shirt. So.
That's awesome. All right, guys, until the last 15 minutes, you know, we stuck on subject. I'm impressed. But
Yolanda, by the way.
Hey, Mark Eady, colorful little man.
Yes. You know what? My daughter's a Libra, and that is her favorite color. So lots of pink. But anyway, that's our time. So we're going to call it a night. We've had a good time, guys. Look, this was great. Appreciate
this y'all. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, yeah. Morgana.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, anytime. Morgana. Jen, come back anytime.
Oh, thank you. The unpodcasted lady.
That's right. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to us. And until next time, stay weird.
Night,
everyone.
Night.